There is a handout sheet in the bulletin if you do care to follow along. It's always blank on the back most of the time. And use that if you get bored, draw a picture, something like that. But what we have, talking about the resurrection, we talked about the resurrection, some aspect of the resurrection the last two Sundays. Of course, being our celebration of the resurrection last week, better known as Easter Sunday. And we talked about, we called it the good news as we read from the book of Romans, realizing that the good news is talks about the plan of God and the man that carried out that plan, the Lord Jesus Christ. The plan of God includes the death, burial, and resurrection, and the man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come to Christ and you receive that good news, it is because you have believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe who Christ is, that he is God, that he has come to accomplish that. We call that the finished work of Christ. And once again, the resurrection is all part of that. The week before, we talked about the triumphal entry, and we asked this question, who is this Jesus? So really, the two main preaching services that I have done on the resurrection centered around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who accomplished it for us. And we have to ask that question. The world is still asking that question today. Who is this Jesus? Many people attending church today all around the world are still asking this question, who is this Jesus? And then if we reach out into the community of what we call unchurched people, is you will find even a larger crowd of people, and they are asking that question. It is interesting, as you enter into conversations with people, you will find that they certainly know some aspect of who Jesus is. Maybe it's just that historical figure. Maybe they've watched something on the National Geographic Channel or the Discovery Channel, or they've watched some different Hollywood movies on him. And yet our heart's desire is that they would come to know him as their Savior. And that is, when we think of the triumphal entry, there were many in the crowd who knew Christ as Savior, but there was many more who did not know this Jesus as their Savior. And that's what we talked about the last 2 weeks. And we talked about the fact that the early morning service on with the City Slicker Sunrise Service, as I like to name it, is that we talked about joy in the morning. And the fact that it was all their fear, all their heartbreak, all the emotion that they felt when Christ died turned into joy. And I challenged us with an interesting thought that the joy that we have of knowing Christ, I don't think it even comes anywhere close to the joy that those disciples experienced that morning to realize that this one who was dead is now alive. And so, oh, wow, what an emotion. But not today. We're going to be looking at a different aspect of the resurrection. We're going to talk about the fact that it is, we'll go to number one right away, it is the a promise of life. And this is where we get down to defining, okay, what is it going to look like in my life? This event has happened. An event that is stands up in any court of law that it actually did happen. This is not a myth. If you read the different gospels accounts, the one gospel account says that this man says that he will rise after 3 days. They appointed a guard, and the guard stood there at the sealed tomb. And you like to think about so many different things around the resurrection. You know, the stone was rolled in front of the tomb, and that wasn't that was to seal the tomb. And so they had so nobody could come in and steal the body. So they had this Roman garrison outside there sealing the tomb again. So it would be like one of these Ziploc bags that have two seals, right? That's what it would be. And realizing this, that the stone was placed not to keep Christ in, because when they rolled the stone away, it was to let others in to see that Christ was indeed risen. But it's a promise of life. It was sealed, and so I'll just go to the next one because this is carrying it on. That's what I like about the PowerPoint. My notes are right here. Okay? And what it's saying is this, is Christ's victory is our victory. And when we talk about this, when we talk about life, it's a promise of life, is that here we have the victory. Now, I like that word. That word victory is just an incredible word, is it not? But, and as I was talking to Nancy standing there in the back, and she told me that Larry's mom had a heart attack in the middle of the night. 93 years old, right, Larry? 93 years old. And she gets to the hospital, and she's kind of disappointed to see her son because she wants to see Jesus. Now, here's the thing. That is because Christ's victory is our victory. Now, Christ conquered death, and the joy that it brought into everybody's life around them is absolutely incredible. But think about this aspect, is that the victory is ours also. It just was not for Christ. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he became the first fruits of them that slept. Now, you realize this, that death is horrible. I don't know anybody that's fond of death, okay? If you're fond of death, you talk to me, because I want to talk to you. I got to find out what makes you think that way. Because as I said, even in two messages over last weekend, is that I hate death. Don't look forward to it at all, okay? I really don't. But I'm so glad that as I will, just like you will, if Jesus tarries, we will all face death, but we can face it with that victory in mind. And to hear Larry's mom, Leah, right? To have her be disappointed that it's not Jesus looking at her, just her son. She's ready to go. She has, you know why? But she lives with that victory. Too many times we as believers, or so often as believers, we seem to be clinging to this life where, I'm really not ready to go right now, okay? If they were saying, hey, bus is out there, go on out and get on it, I think I'd hang around and talk a little bit before we go on out, okay? But to tell you the truth, I don't think we ought to be white-knuckled hanging on to life. I think we ought to hold it gingerly, realizing that our life is within the hands of our God. Amen? And only he knows the appointed time for that to take place. We ought to take comfort in that. Why? Because of the victory that Christ has. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is a subject that they have countless shows on, countless experts. Do you ever hear someone say, well, on our talk show tomorrow, we're going to have this expert come and talk about life after death. I'm like a horse. You know how you can always tell when a horse is listening to you? They turn their ears toward you. After you get to know horses pretty good, you can tell if a horse is paying attention to you, not that they're looking at you. They turn their ears, okay? And so my ears always turn like that, you know, because I'm just a big old horse, and it's just like, I wonder what that person is going to say. And a lot of times when you listen to it, they're talking about maybe and if and I think, right? Don't they talk like that? And after you're done watching a program like that, you know what happens? You have no more knowledge of life after death than you did before you listened to the program, except now you know one more person that doesn't know. And yet, when I was in the plant at Wood Mode, we talked about that quite often. And that's where you get a chance to tell them, my Lord and Savior conquered death. And he tells me that victory is mine. as you bring other scriptures to play on. I love the 23rd Psalm, and I know that verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I mean, that was a real place where people were robbed and beaten. I understand that. But the application to that for the believer today is, the Lord is my shepherd. And you know what he does? At that moment, when I pass from this life into the next, my Lord escorts me. And he says, I will fear no evil. And so, praise God. Why? Because that is the victory that we have in Christ. And that's because of the resurrection. Now, I know you said, well, why don't you talk about this last week? Well, we can talk about a little series here. We can put all that together. It's the good news. It's God's plan. God sent his son to accomplish that, and we're rejoicing in that today. So number two is this, the resurrection. And this is what I like about this. The resurrection, the spotlight that illuminates the cross. That's why we sang the old rugged cross today. Because the cross, now to us, the cross has a different, or let's put it this way. We look at it in a different way than what the disciples did. I think the first year I was here, I taught about when Jesus told his disciples that they were to take up their cross and follow me. Do you remember that sermon? No, you don't, so I can teach that again. Good. That's what I want to pull that one out again, right? You say, oh, man, I must have missed that Sunday, or I was sleeping, or whatever. But that's okay. But what I want you to realize is this, is that that was... Jesus made that statement before he died. He made that statement before he was resurrected, I believe. Now, that's interesting. And so what he was challenging every one of his disciples at that moment was that they were to live a life with a death sentence. Because in their day, a cross did not mean a piece of jewelry that they wore around their neck, symbolizing Christianity, okay? The cross that we have hanging up here is a symbol of our victory, right? Now, if you'll notice that is lit up, correct? The only thing that illuminates the cross is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's what it's talking about. And so, A is this, without the resurrection, the cross loses its power. There is no power in the death of Christ if Christ is dead. That's what Paul said, and that's what we preach. We preached on last week. Because we took verse 20 where it says, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Without the resurrection, the cross loses its power. Now, let me get back to, I jumped ahead here a little bit. You know, we wear it as a necklace, so how many of you folks actually have a piece of jewelry that has a cross on it? Oh yeah, yeah. I bought some pen clips that has a little cross. I got it from a guy. They make this one pen clip that has this huge cross on, and you might think that you have to walk down the street carrying this thing over your shoulder. So I have a pen in my office that has a small cross on. Now that's interesting, because in Jesus' day, nobody would have wore that. Because that, first of all, if you were a Roman, you couldn't be crucified, okay? And it was a form of punishment. And as we talked last week, as we talked on Good Friday, as we sat at the foot of the cross, where the passage says, and they hung him on the cross, and then they sat down and watched. Think about what that cross would be like, okay? Agony. I don't like agony at all. Do you like agony? I don't even like to hear anybody in agony. Do you? I don't. And yet that happens many times. And what kind of atmosphere does that place? And yet today, you and I are doing this. We realize this. We are celebrating the resurrection as the promise of victory, not death. Victory, life, not death. And it's a symbol that we carry around. It's a symbol that we display. As a matter of fact, it is the symbol. Now listen to this. Mark this down. And don't let anybody tell you that this is a lie. Okay, because this is absolutely true. I say, you know, when a preacher has to tell you, now this is the truth, it makes you think, what did he say? Right? You do that. But watch this. This is absolutely true. The Muslim world hates the cross. Mark that down. And it is a sad commentary to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ when members of a congregation will vote to remove their cross so as not to offend anyone. The cross is the promise of our life, and it is the declaration of the victory that we have in Christ because of his resurrection. Amen? Can I get an amen today? Isn't that wonderful? Absolutely. Absolutely. And the day that we vote to remove the cross is the day that we cease to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on now, amen? And you know what we need to do? Whether we're small in number or whether we pack the place out, it's because we lift up Christ. Amen? And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. We may fail at a lot of things, but one thing that we should never fail at is the fact of celebrating the resurrection and recognizing that without the resurrection, the cross loses its power. And the resurrection is that which illuminates the cross. And B is this, without the resurrection, the cross loses its prominence. That's why the cross is so hated. If you want to sell jewelry, you'll sell a lot of crosses. But if you start talking to people about the prominence of that cross in their life, you know what you will soon get? You will get people to tell you to mind their own business. And you will get people to say, well, that's simply your opinion. But you know what I love about the scriptures? In the book of Acts, Paul is proclaiming the gospel and to one of the leaders, and Paul uses this. He goes, this thing that was not done in a corner. And what he means by that is it was done for all the world to see. This is not something just passed on to us and passed on to this by secret societies. This is for the whole world to see. This is for the whole world to experience. Amen? Aren't you glad that you've come to know Christ as your Savior? Aren't you glad that you recognize the prominence and the power of the cross of Christ in your life? Amen. That, you know, the songwriter says it best. I love to tell the story for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. I hope you never get tired of hearing about Jesus. And you never get tired to hear of hearing the fact that he died for you and he conquered death for you. Amen? That's our cornerstone. Even to the most basic of all verses, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Reference there to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what it is, folks. That's what it is. Now, here's as we continue on. The resurrection is the beginning, not the end. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. And when you get to the book of Genesis, I want you to turn to chapter 3. And you say, wow, we're going all the way back to Genesis. You know, I have a message that I preached years ago, and I'm going to dig that out and shine it up. I'm going to get some of that purple power and spray on it and get all the mold and the mildew off of it and hose it down good. And it's looking at the resurrection from the book of Genesis, okay? Or celebrating the resurrection from the book of Genesis. That'll get you something to think about there. But I'm not preaching that today. But in Genesis chapter 3, what happened? Well, in Genesis chapter 2, man falls, the fall of man. Genesis chapter 3, what does God do? Well, Genesis chapter 3 is the fall of man. I'm sorry, I misquoted myself here, or misquoted the scriptures. But as we see that take place with the serpent, I was listening to a message while I was either coming to work or going home from the office or whatever. But it was so interesting because it was an aspect of the conversation that took place between the serpent and Eve that I'd never thought about. And I'm going to share that with you just as chasing a little rabbit here. Didn't even write it down in my notes. But God gave Adam authority over all the animals. Right? And I thought this too. I thought, wow, this is powerful. All that Eve would have had to do was tell that serpent to leave. And because they had authority, that serpent would have had to leave. I thought, wow. Well, it just tells us that the fall of man took place. And the fall of man took place even in the midst of great authority that they had at that time over the creation. And so, when in Genesis chapter 3, God steps in and he confronts Adam and Eve. And of course, you know, Adam being the good husband, he just passed the buck. All right, guys, that's not a real good commentary to us, right? I'm looking at the guys here and they're not too excited about that statement. You ought to be cheered. Yeah, all right, all right. But that's okay. Ladies, unless you think your wife passes the buck, the ladies pass the buck on down too. So the serpent got the buck passed to him, right? Because God confronted Adam, confronted Eve, and there stands the serpent going, right? Sort of looks like my dog Maggie when she gets into the trash when we're away. You know, you walk in and the ears are all laid down and she's saying to you, look what I've left for you. And you find it and it's just like, yeah, yeah. But anyways, I digress. Haven't said that for a while, but look at verse 15. God steps in and he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. And what that is that's the first messianic promise where God states to them that he is going to take care of their sin problem. He promises that he will do it. And we have that fulfilled in Christ. Now you say, well, what is that? Because we're really now talking about the resurrection of Christ is not the end. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of life for you and me. New life in Christ, abundant and free. What glory shine, what joy is mine, what wondrous blessing I see. My past with its sin, the searching and strife, forever gone. There's a bright new dawn, for in Christ I have found new life. That sounds like the beginning, not the end. Amen? Even when my father was 89 years old and found Christ, that was the beginning of his life in Christ. Even though he only lived that for 16 days, it was the beginning of life, not the end of life. And that's what the resurrection is. It is the beginning of life. So what happens is this, is here we are. We're, you know, you tell me your story. Well, when I was, I was 19 years old. I came to know Christ as my Savior and say, wow, you're 61 years. That's a long time. But my Bible tells me that it's all new. Amen? And that's the beginning of life, not the end. And then this is the point I wanted to get to because all that was introduction, right? You say, oh no, we're in trouble. That's okay. We're having lunch. Now, this will go as fast as the other three. I do that. And then I wished I would have never said that. Because I just think this is so incredible. What is it? Not only is Christ's victory our victory, not only is this the promise of life, not only is this the spotlight that illumines the cross, right? You know what it is now? It's the power to live every day. And that's what gets me excited. You know why? Because I need to live my life every day. Don't you just get tired of the mundane? Because so much of life is mundane. You know, I wished that every morning when I got up that I would just jump out of bed and said, yes, it's time to get a shower. Or yes, it's time to brush my teeth. Or yes, it's time to shave. And just, it's so exciting. Grandma was really tired and had a week of it. And so she was napping and Blake was at the house and we were out back and we were mowing and taking care of the mower. And he says to me, he goes, Grandpa, he goes, do you know this? Now, this is a six-year-old. Do you know this, Grandpa? They have all kinds of Imagine X toys at Walmart. Can I take you there and show you the whole aisle of Imagine X Batman? He said, I know you're off your rocker, but that's every day. And you know what I said? Sure, let's do that. So, boy, when he said that, it was like, okay. And so we get in the van, and we're going out there, and we go on in. You know what? You don't shop for milk. You don't shop for pizza. You don't shop for anything. And, of course, I'm just as much a boy. I love to look at toys. Yet, so we're down there, and he's leading me around. And you know what I watched? I stood back, and he was just so excited. Look at this. Look at this. And then he was working a plan. You know, we talked last week about the plan, and I told you my grandson's a good planner. He's at the end of the trip, he's standing there with this $30 Lego toy and says, surely we're going to get this, aren't we? Well, now let's take a survey here. How many of you think that toy came home with him? Yeah, let's see hands. Okay, you didn't win the prize, buddy. You didn't win the prize. I said, now look, I told you we were just window shopping. And to his little mind, you know what he says? What's window shopping? Okay, see, he grew up in a whole different era. You know, you'd go to Sunbury and window shop, right? And these stores took great pains to dress their windows so that they could draw you inside. Now, you just, Walmart's just, everything's right there, right? No more window shopping. But I explained to him, well, that's when you go to the store and you don't buy anything. Oh. But that's okay. We stopped at Subway. We got a sub, and he got a chance to take one home for Grandma. So it wasn't all tears all the way home. But what we're talking about here is the mundane. I looked at him, and he's just got a fascination for all kinds of things. And he's just so excited walking around in the store. And yet I watch so many people walk around the store that it's all just mundane. See, life is so mundane. Our lives can become very mundane, but that doesn't mean that it's not necessary and that it's not powerful living. It's just mundane. What we want is we want to watch an hour and a half movie about a person's life and say, man, I wish I had a life like that. Many of you do have lives like that. It's just, it's peppered with mundane over and over and over. And Paul says this. Notice this passage. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, he's not talking about that I may know him and get saved again. He's talking about, and look what has and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And what's he talking about? He's talking about his everyday life. That he would live his life with the power of the resurrection evident in his life. And what does that mean? Well, if Christ's victory is our victory, that means victory in our life. If it is the beginning and not the end, we go back to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and the promise. And then you interject in there in the book of Romans, chapter 6, where Paul says this, because we are a Christian, sin no longer has dominion over us. And it is that dethroned king that wants to try to exercise dominion. But Paul says, you know what? No, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, to be honest with you, as I look at Paul's life, I see a victorious Christian. I see a powerful Christian. I see a Christian that faced death many times where I would have picked myself up off the ground from being beaten and said, you know what? I'm going to be like Peter and John, you know, after they got discouraged at the death of Christ, where they said, well, I'm going back fishing. That's what I'm going to do. Not Paul. You know what he did? Dust himself up and said, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go here? He didn't turn around and say, Lord, bring fire down on him. No, he said, okay, Lord, where do you want? I guess my work's done here. Where do you want me to go from here? Right? Oh, yeah. You know why? because he desired to live his life with the power of Christ's resurrection. You see, as we think about this now as believers, I really think that my triumphal, the triumphal entry message and our Easter morning service message was really about the gospel. It was really about presenting Jesus and having people who were in attendance here who weren't saved be challenged with who Christ is in their life and whether or not they know this good news. I will admit that, and I make no apologies for it because I think it's just absolutely wonderful to preach the gospel. But this is a message with meat in it for us. Am I living with that victory? And I'm talking to Dave Dressler. I'm not talking to you. Am I living with the desire that the power of the resurrection would be evident in my life, saying no to sin and saying yes in obedience to Christ? That's what it comes down to. Whether that means all those 17 and a half years I got up every day and went to the plant at Wood Mode and worked a mundane schedule, God still gave great moments of blessing in the midst of all of that. I was thinking this week, I thought, I'll close with this, okay? I got to get closed here sometime, but I'll close with this because I like to tell you these stories because sometimes it helps us to put real teeth into what I'm saying. I was thinking, I thought this week, even though I preach the gospel and present Christ, I thought, Lord, it's been a long time since I just asked somebody if they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior personally. And I was thinking about that. And so it's interesting, I got back to the office one day, and there was a message on my answer machine. And here's a lady, an older lady, she called, and she wanted to know what the church charges to do a funeral service here. So I called her, told her it was like $10,000, so she's sending me the check. I told her to make it out to Dave Dressler personally, and you know, no. But she did, she called, and I thought, I've never had a request like that in my life. I've had a lot of people call and ask to do a funeral, just never, and so I gave her a call. Her name is Velma, and it was this older lady, and I said, and of course she answered the phone, and I said, is this Velma? Yeah. Well, this is Pastor David First. Oh, she goes, I'm so glad you called me. And I said, are you dying? And she goes, oh, no. I'm 78 years old or 77 years old. My kids tell me I'm in great shape. And I said, okay, so you... She goes, well, I'm trying to get all this stuff scheduled. I said, oh, okay. And I'm laughing. And so I said to her, I said, well, now, and here's where it's almost like God just put it right there. I said, Velma, you're preparing to die physically. Are you prepared to die spiritually? Oh, she goes, oh, I'm saved. And so I said, okay, so you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, she went to a Baptist church that closed down. She lives here in town. And so through the conversation, I invited her to join us for our, to come down and start a business. And she actually thanked me for inviting her to church. And so we had a wonderful conversation. You say, well, why would you say that? Well, because, you know, a lot of times as we think, well, you know, we get so busy with our lives. We can become so excited about this resurrection, but if I don't share it with anybody and challenge people for that, and I was sitting there mulling over that and said, Lord, I've really not even talked to anybody. And yet, now she's saved, but I could tell you 2-3 other people that I talked to this week that the Lord brought back into my life that I witnessed to years ago, reestablishing connections. Absolutely incredible. But you know what? We're done for today. And I want to challenge you with this. Do you desire, as Paul said, that I would look at the resurrection, that it would give me the power to live every day? Because that gets me excited, thinking about that every day, living mine. Well, let's close. Father,